I'd like for us just for a moment to talk about what the last week has been. The last week has been pretty crazy. You know, it started, Thanksgiving's always good, but what was Friday? Friday was what? Black Friday. Then you had Saturday, which is what? Small Business Saturday. What was it?
Leftovers.
Leftovers is what Eric Cardwell said. Leftover Saturday. Then you had Monday was Cyber Monday. And then does anybody know what Tuesday is? It's actually a new thing that's started happening. Pardon me? That's right. Giving Tuesday. That's right. It started 6 years ago. If you could hit that for me, Lance, for some reason, and it's okay if it doesn't come on. But it's interesting. Over the last week, the whole weekend, sales rose from $41.2 billion to $45 billion. Small business, 55 million consumers went out. Cyber Monday hits a record, breaking $6.59 billion in online sales. Average spending per person over the 5-day period was $335.47, about a 75% increase, specifically going towards gifts. The biggest spenders were older millennials, 25 to 34, an average of $419. Can you believe that? More than 174 million Americans shopped in stores online during the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, more than 10 million more than expected. But then it came to Tuesday, and Tuesday is Giving Tuesday, and because it's relatively new, people are just beginning to figure out what it is and what it looks like. It's celebrated on the Tuesday following Thanksgiving. Hashtag Giving Tuesday kicks off the charitable season when many focus on their holiday on the holiday and the ending of the year giving. One of the best ways, you can go online to givingtuesday.org. One of the best ways to get involved is in your own community. We have created a directory to help you find organizations, charities, events, and more in your own community. And so what they try to do is they try to help us to determine what it is that we're going to do as a charitable act and what are we going to do to give. And so as we think about that, I was thinking about in the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul was talking to a group of people, and Paul's a guy that always knows names and knows stories. And knowing names and knowing stories sometimes engages you into action. And you may not know the story, but the story is in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. What is happening is that Paul is in Macedonia, and he's spending time with some folks, and he's sharing the story and names of some folks that are somewhat far away, and he's telling them about their plight. Well, he's standing right in the middle of Macedonia where they have nothing. Actually, a famine is going on, and they have nothing. In hearing this story, they ask him, is it okay that we get involved, and could we participate with giving towards them? And so what happens is he begins to talk about that and getting ready to go to Corinth, a city that was much, much, much wealthier and had many, many more things of material things. He sends a letter to them and he says to them, hey, we're fixing to come to your place here in a little bit. And we're coming to take an offering. And the offering is to help those who have a name and a story that are far off perhaps to you, but not very far. And so we are coming. I do want to tell you this, that the Macedonians plumb smooth hit it out of the park and they have nothing. And so we're coming before you and using them as an example to actually encourage you. He says it like this, we're getting ready to come, but I'm sending three people in advance to help with that promise that you made last year, actually. And he says this, so I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go ahead. It's Titus and two other people to you and to arrange in advance the gift that you'd promised so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction. The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his own heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs for the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. This morning, I'm about to do something that I'm not very good at all. I'm sharing this morning about that particular season of giving and the season of Tuesday Giving Tuesday, to talk about what the world is actually doing. We're becoming much more aware that the world is smaller than we think, and we're trying to find places to find and how to go about that. And what they discovered was every year that Giving Tuesday has taken place, people have spent more and more and more and more. And it's pretty interesting that it begins with Black Friday, and then we end up thinking, oh, well, maybe there's something that we could give as a result after we've shopped and done everything for us. Hey, we ought to have a good day that just says we ought to give. And so as we're thinking about that this morning, it made me begin to think about us as a church. And the reason I'm beginning to say that I don't do this very well is I don't do this very well. And some would say this, man, if it's your first day at church and you haven't been for a while, you're like, wouldn't you know it? Oh, my goodness, on the day that I come, we're talking about money. And I got to tell you, you pick the day, because the reason I don't do it very well is I haven't done it very well over all the years. Actually, I've not done well at all. One of the reasons for that is that when I first became into the ministry and I became a pastor, I actually, and I hope nobody misunderstands this, but I began to say in my mind, please, Lord, don't let me ever look like them. Don't let me look like other pastors that I saw. Is that terrible or what? Because I knew growing up in my own home that I'd heard that something about God and what he always wants and what preachers want is they always talk about money. Well, I began to spend, and I spent the majority of my adult life actually in the ministry with people who had no money. And so I've spent a lot of time with teenagers and students and college students and that age group student. And so it was no wonder when I've made jokes here at River Bluff, when I first became the pastor, I forgot to take the offering several times. And I always joke about that. I always joke that I got reminded real quick, hey, man, can we see you over here? Don't forget the offering anymore. And so I don't forget the offering anymore. Sometimes I get close to forgetting it. But I don't really do it very well, and I think sometimes one of the things we talk about what we do well, I know what I do really well. My daughter and I, we always joke about things on those days when you feel like, you know what, I'm not worth very much. I don't even know what I do well or what we do. And Haley and I will always sometimes joke, and we'll say on those days when you feel kind of down, like, what do we do well? And we say, well, we're good eaters. We always say this every time, we're really fast runners. And then I always add, and we're good dancers. And which the last two are not really true. We're not fast runners, and we're not good dancers. But we joke about that. Well, I also know the things that I don't do well, and sometimes I don't do well on what I've done as a pastor. Is I've not always asked for us to be better stewards than we've been. And so this morning, as we talk about it, and I'm going to fly through this, I begin to think about, as the whole world is looking at Giving Tuesday, they're actually going online and asking people to tell them what they could give to. And if you want to look at something interesting, go look it up and see how many causes you can actually do. What I'd like to do is just say this. When you're deciding on what you're going to do and you're going to give, I love what the Scripture says. The Scripture says this, I've got a way for you to know what to do and what to give. And the Bible says this, that the point is that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And when deciding to give, can I tell you what makes a difference? What makes a difference is deciding to give is when you know a name and you know a story. Sometimes when we talk about the other side of the world, it's hard to know names and know stories, and so you don't really get involved. But I'll tell you what makes me get involved. If you tell me today that there's a guy right there, and his name is such and such, and he doesn't have food today, you don't have to tell me much more than that. I know that. And if I can put a face and a name, I can say, hey, I got this, man. I got this. And so knowing a name and knowing a face and knowing that is so incredible. And when you decide on what you're going to give, you know this, don't you? And we say this all year long. It's been our word in at River Bluff. It's a crazy place, man. River Bluff's a crazy place. Sometimes it's hard to know people and to know who each other are. And we have another service that will come in just a minute. And we'll have 400 people, 500 people on a Sunday. So it's hard to know. And so what we always say among our leadership team is we say, hey, know a name and know a story. And when you know a name and a story, you can actually engage. You see, other than knowing a name and a story, all we've got is appearance and action to judge by. And sometimes when you judge by just the appearance and behavior, if you're like me, I can be so wrong, so wrong. And so in deciding what you're going to give to, it helps to know a name and a face. My friends, when I begin to talk about River Bluff and our church, I begin to say, hey, listen, this is our place. And you can know a name and know a place and know a story. It sometimes helps to know the story. You know, some people drive by this church and they'll say, hey, and they'll refer to it. You know, that church over there is doing this or doing that. That church is going to do something. The way people actually speak of our church actually tells much about who they are and what they understand about what really happens here. There's that church that's on Evans Road. That's where we're at today. Sometimes we'll be talking and they'll say, sometimes even at the gym, what about your church? Or they'll say, hey, something about your church or your church is going on. I sometimes say, man, listen, that's not my church. I mean, I go there. I do go there. But sometimes they know, like, hey, you're the pastor and it's your church. I say, oh, no, man, it's the Lord's church. But anyway, I get what you're saying. But you know who are the really neat people? Are people when they're talking in a sentence and they say, at my church. So I see boys and girls all the time. I always tell them, like, I'm so glad I go to your church. I go to the same church you go to. I'm at your church. And you know what we would love? We would love that for every person in here that you would call it your church. And can I share with you about your church, River Bluff Fellowship? River Bluff Fellowship, when you talk about the churches, you can think about all the different things that you can give to. Listen, there's a million things that you can give to. And I can tell you that there's a lot of things in places across the world that you can give to. And I give to some, and you give to some, and we give to ministries. But I got to say something to us this morning, my friends. We're at a tough place in our church. We built a building, and things have been happening, but we've gotten to the end of the year, and we're about $50,000 to $80,000 behind in our offerings. And so I begin to think, man, we've got to think about what our church looks like and the giving aspect of it. What helps me is if I know a name and know a story. When I know that your church is a connection point for Christian living. It's not very far that if you're here very long, it happens every single Sunday. I see it happen. That you're in here and you'll see somebody that you know. There's what is it, 6 points of separation or six, what is it, or seven, or what is it? How many degrees of separation? I mean, we're all related in some way. We're all related. And so you see people and you know people. And so the aspect of that is to know that this is a safe place for Christian thing. You know, they call Fort Collins, Colorado, the Evangelical Vatican. And because of that, the reason they call it that is there's focus on the family. There's YWAM. There's the Navigators. There's all kinds of Christian organizations that actually find their home there. What's true about them is they're all reaching the world. But you know what else is true about them? They all go to church someplace. And so when you go to that town, there's more churches than you could ever imagine. And so when people are coming in there, you're rubbing shoulders with people that are actually impacting the world all over the place. And you know what? The local church does that. That's what the local church is about. It's about rubbing shoulders, not only with people that are rubbing, that are changing the world on the other side of the, but somebody that understands transmissions, that knows how to look at the one in my truck, or knows how to raise kids, or knows how to teach or something. And so our church is a connection point for Christian living. Our church helps identify those in need. There are about a million needs, and what you'll find all the time is you'll find people on Facebook that are starting pages, and people will give money, and you know what they're determining? And a lot of times, there's no way to check on it, and so there's fraud. There's a ton of fraud. Not all of it, but some of it is. You know what I love about the local body is this, is that sometimes, because we're a local body, we know when something's up and what's going on. We know sometimes when there's a family in need, and we know what is happening in our city. That's why we do Cook's Kettle and the Schulers. They'll be out there holding the bucket in a minute. Man, that means we get to go down and be a part of identifying those needs. Your church helps serve your community. Let me say this. Your family also deserves it. If you were to call us your church, which we would be absolutely so honored to do that, then I got to tell you, we operate as a family here. You've seen it, haven't you? You've seen it that I heard one pastor say, this is what we do, what he said he does. He says, we marry them, we bury them, we walk through anniversaries, we celebrate with them, we eat with them, and goes through the whole gamut of things. And I think, wow, that is true. It's the place that sometimes you can come for some encouragement. It's the place that you can come. And listen, if you ever need it, if you ever have a broken heart, there's somebody in this room that's going to understand your broken heart. You're in the middle of some tough situation. And so we are that place. But it's a family that means that when one hurts, we all hurt. And when one celebrate, we all celebrate. And so when we talk about giving, we talk about the idea of actually supporting our family that actually does that, deciding what to give. The point is this, that whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. But I love this verse. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I wish I had time, but on the Give Well page of giving, what you give and you want to give, and the whole world seems to be jumping on Giving Tuesday, hashtag Giving Tuesday, they actually give some ideas, and I wish we had time deciding. And it, actually, there's some articles on deciding how to get the most bang out of your buck as you're giving. But it's you can give to a million different things. I love what the Scripture does. Is the Scripture says this. The Scripture says, hey, let me give you a formula that works and has worked. And it's in Malachi 3:10. It talks about the tithe. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. What's the storehouse? It's where you live. It's where you're at. That there may be food in the house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if it will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room even enough to store it. The offerings, this says that it's not the offering, it's the tithe, it's to the storehouse. But there's offerings, and that's over and above where you can give to, like, man, all a million of things. I like it that God just says this, like in a world that you could pour into something, here's a sure thing. Scripture says this, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. It's the 10-10-80 plan. We give our first 10% to God. Proverbs says this, honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruits of all produce. And the promise is we acknowledge God to be the creator and provider of all things, and we are simply returning to God what God has given to us. As the Apostle Paul says, what do you have that you did not receive? We save 10%. We give the first 10 to God. We save the 10, and we live on the 80. I'm going to ask about 10 people, I don't care who they are, to come up here real quick, just to help me real fast. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to have you hand something out for me. Would you, just any 10 people, come on up if you would, right here. Let me close. I'm going to show a quick video, and we're going to close. But the last thing is this, is to decide how it is that we give. How do we do it? How do we do it? The Bible says this, for one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And in the Hebrew, you can try this at the lunch table tomorrow. Try it. You can use the word hilaros and say, man, this is just really hilaros, or how's work, you know. But what it is actually means is the cheerful in the Hebrew is hilaros, and it means to properly disposed because of satisfied, because you're satisfied. Describing someone who is cheerfully ready to act because already approving, meaning that it's a decision that has already been made. When I think about deciding how to give and how to go about that, one thing you can know is this, whoever brings a blessing will be enriched, and he who waters will himself be watered. Malachi, again, is that familiar passage. I want to end real quick with a quick video, but let me tell you what's about to happen, you guys. We'll not give unless you decide to do it on purpose. It doesn't generally happen. Like, wow, I just engaged in something that was needed, and I didn't even see it coming, which is how some things happen. But you probably won't step across the line until you decide to do it on purpose. And so I want to back up real quick on that. I want to suggest to you something this morning that we're going to hand something out to you. Go ahead and hand that out if you guys would. I'm going to show you. Could I have one of them real quick? Matt, could I have one? Here, Jeff, thanks. I'm going to ask you, and I don't know how I'm doing on this, all right? You can get out in the car and go, holy cow, he just did it. But once in 17 years, man, you'll have grace for me, won't you? No, it's not been one in 17 years, but it's been not as much as I should have. And so what I'm suggesting this morning is this: is that we're talking about Giving Tuesday, but you know what I'd like to do? I'd like, as your pastor and as our church, I'd like to ask you if you would consider giving December, the whole month. We're presenting just a little envelope that says this, Give on Purpose, Christmas at River Bluff 2017. You all know we've done a lot this year. We've had mission projects. We've had mission projects to Brazil. We've gone around the world. We've done mission projects here, and we built a new building. Can you believe that? There's so many things going on. But you know, in doing that, it always takes more than we could ever think of. And what I've not done well as your pastor is to say, we need some help. But I'm not really just talking like begging for money, because man, if you're here for the first time, I don't do this well. I don't ever do it very well. My heart's been kind of hardened and or hurting as a result of it. But what I've not done is I've not given you opportunity to engage. Makes me think of a little boy that was just in the news. His name is Holden. And Holden is a little boy in Georgia. He's 7 years old. You might have seen this on the news. It was so incredible. He's autistic, and he's having a birthday party. And on his birthday party, they sent out all the invitations to all of the kids in class. And on the day of his birthday party, his mom and dad were waiting with him. And no one came. It was so painful that his dad couldn't take it. And the little boy, Holden, kept saying, I bet they're just getting ready. They're just getting ready to come. They're going to be here. And then he said, I bet they're out buying me presents right now. That's where they are. They'll be here. The dad couldn't take it anymore. He decided, he remembered that his cell phone was left somewhere else. And so he said he couldn't take it, and he had to leave because he couldn't take the disappointment of his son. And as he was leaving, he saw a fire truck. Do y'all know this story? He went after the fire truck, flashing his lights. And he stopped him and he said, no one's coming to my son's birthday party. So he said to some firefighters, could you guys swing by the park? They said, hey, let us get a moment. Let us ask real quick. And then, I don't know if you saw what happened. Can I show it to you real quick? Don't you love that story? You know, what made it possible was a fire truck was coming across and recognized that there was a need. And when they saw it, just like our law enforcement and our EMTs, our police officers, they respond. You think, well, they're supposed to. Well, no, they didn't have to respond. But what they respond to was Holden was going to have a birthday party and no one was coming. I want to ask you if you would do something this morning. I'm going to ask you to take this envelope. And I'm going to ask you if you would consider this, that you would consider bringing to the storehouse your tithe for the month of December. That's 10%. I'm going to ask you just to pray over it. Pray over it if you would. Here's our goal. On the day before Christmas, we're going to have the biggest service because we're having only one. Wait till you get the other service in here. I told them our people are going to be good, man. If I was at a church and all the seats were taken, I saw a whole fraternity. David Potter, remember that time we had so many students on a Sunday morning, and I asked the Theta Chi's and somebody else if you would, hey, give up your chairs, and we saw a whole fraternity stand against the wall. Let me just tell you something. If I came into this church and every chair, I would so gladly get, I would stand over there by the wall. I'm hoping Sunday morning on the 24th, it will be jam-packed. We're going to invite you, if you were to pray about your gift, that you would bring it that morning. If you're not going to be here, you can bring it any day. Trust me, we will not sell. It's not Christmas Eve yet. No. They taught me that in seminary, too. Do not ever say no. Don't turn it down. But if you would consider bringing your gift, I'd invite you to do this, too. If it is that you have not given your tithe and would like to, that you could bring it, and you could bring over and above as well. I'm praying that God is going to do something big. I don't want to ask you this, but did I do okay on this today? It's been hard. Yeah, I'm just joking. You don't need to know that. I just do need to say this, though, to you. Hey, let's go to the birthday party. What do you say? I just shared a need with you. Let's all stand. Worship team, if you want to come up, we'll close. I'm going to pray for us. And as I pray for us, I'm going to ask you that you would take your envelope, you consider, would you mind giving a dollar out to, hey, everybody turn and wave it at Roseanne so that she knows that she knows that we told. Hey, thanks for coming. Let me pray for us. Could we finish with a song real fast? Let's go ahead and finish with one, and we'll do that. Father, thank you for this time today. God, thank you for blessing us. God, the whole world's wanting to give to something worthwhile. God, your kingdom work is worthwhile. And God, your kingdom work is going on everywhere. But God, we're your family right here. We pray, Lord, that you would multiply to your honor and to your glory. Let's sing together and we'll close in just a moment.
It all revolves around your throne. Who can know your glory? So high above, yes, laid for us. You alone are worthy. And the praise is yours. And the praise is yours. You're the one we bow before. Leaning over us as we lift you up. You're the rain forevermore.
Sing, the praise is yours one more time.
Guys, thanks for coming today. Would you take this envelope? Be praying about what you're going to bring to the birthday party. It's Jesus' birthday. Hey, thanks.